read firstly that on Exodus. Is it on? Yeah. Hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, and they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry ground, of the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry ground. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, my God, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither here to fore, but since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he see thee, he will be glad in the heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even as he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt make this rod of in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. So we ask God to bless his own word. We bring into the story that Moses was seeing God, or God revealed him in a burning bush in the wilderness. And so they have a conversation, and God in chapter 3 revealed that he was the great I am. And this conversation following on, God was going to send him to send Moses back into Egypt in order to take the people of Israel back out of the back out from Egypt and go back to Canaan. So the timeline in those times, that as far as I know, there is some people might have disputes about the timeline. But if we think that the Moses was the adopted son of Hatshepsut, which is the queen at that time, then afterwards he was exiled, and then or he left because that he killed an Egyptian, and Hatshepsut's stepson Thutmose the third was against Moses, of course, that, and then Moses had to flee, and then he went to the Midian, and then he married and he settled down for 40 years. And then we know that at his return, it was around the time of the son of Thutmose III, called Amenhotep II. So the story that we have is around that time that when Moses was seeing God in the burning bush. So it says that in chapter 3 of Exodus, God revealed himself as the great I Am, and that great I Am has encompassed the whole thing of God's nature, because the I Am means that it's from the past, from the present, and also the continuing as well. And he was revealing that if anybody asks you who sent you, then say that it's the I Am who sent you, because in the time that Moses was in Egypt especially, there were many gods, and everybody would claim that I was sent by certain gods, but this one that is different, because this is the great I Am that has been never revealed that to the people in Egypt. And also that the people that in Israel, that at this moment, I know that the Lord, or Jehovah, or Yahweh, was mentioned in Genesis 1, but from then on, the people, we regard that the name Yahweh is the one that of the God of Israel, rather than all the other God as well. So that's how we are. Now, when God come to Moses, then he was then asking that, if I tell the people that you are the great I Am, but they may not believe me, because who am I that, you know, they will have to believe me? And I know that when we come together, then that, you know, when you have seen so many people, they're claiming that they have revelation from God, they have got this and that, so you have got to test whether they're actually from God. And one of the ways that God has tried to help Moses to have the credential is by making him to have three signs as well, which we talk about that the sign later on. Of course, one of the signs is that they will take the serpent and from the rod that it was in Moses' hand and cast it down. The rod became a serpent, and Moses then grabbed the serpent back and it became the rod again. And then the next sign is the hand become leprous, and then God took it out and healed him as well. The last one is that it was to do with the water from Nile and then changing into blood as well. So God was helping Moses to create his credential. And sometimes that when we are weak in faith, for those that who are weak in faith, sometimes that we say, why do I have to believe Lord? Then God will show us the way that he wants you to be as well. He will answer your prayer if you're really genuine about asking for things that you're not sure. God will give you signs, because that God can reveal from the scripture, or maybe giving some people to come and help you. God will give you signs. It's not unreasonable, because we are weak, then asking God to help us to see clearly what his role and what his way to us will be. And there are many, many incidents that the people of faith, that they need require some signs in order to go forward to do the word of God. But of course that nowadays, in the New Testament time, that we don't look for signs. We work by faith and faith alone. And there are that those that who do not see and yet believe. And there's a blessing upon it. Yes, that when we are really weak and really asking God, he will give you signs. And the story about even that there are people who are addicts, who are been trying to be a dumb of the deepest of the mire in their life, then God will give them signs that to bring them back up, to believe, to push over for them that to believe in God. For those that who have heard the gospel, especially children that you heard the gospel from your father, from your grandmother, and for the mother, and your cousin, and all the things that you have heard, that those that you might think that, I don't see signs, how can I believe in it? And everybody seems to be talking about signs. God give a special blessing. If you trusted the word of God, God will give you a special blessing, because like John, he didn't ask for a sign, but God sent him all the miracles and all that as well. And those that when the Lord Jesus said that for those who have not seen but believe, that they are going to be blessed as well. So in this chapter, from verses 1 to 17, they are into three sessions. There are, from verse 1 to 9, there are three signs. And then 10 to 11, there are three sons of man talking about the speech and also the hearing and also that the sight as well. And then the last one is about the three speakers. It's very difficult for me to get three S's, but I managed this time. So there are three, as James was talking about, four sets of three, and now we've got three sets of three, and it's much easier to remember. So the first of the threes is that the first sign is that the rod and the serpent. God asked Moses to take the staff or the rod that to cast it onto the ground. And we know that that rod is the one that probably Moses used to tend the flock. So he was the one that who have got the authority. It was the one that who was to lead the flock and the sheep, and then he would use that to be a shepherd's hook, in a sense that to lead the flock over there. But God will ask Moses to cast it down, so whatever authority that we have in front of God, we can cast it down. When he cast it down, then of course that you can see from the scripture that the rod has become a serpent. And we know that serpents always associated with the devil, and it's poisonous. And you see the serpent, in fact, it's so poisonous that Moses actually had fear, and he ran away, he jumped over, because that looks like a very poisonous serpent. And there's no quarrel that we should be afraid of poisonous thing. We should be afraid of the devil. When the devil comes, the one thing is that we get away from it. But then that God actually asked Moses to grab the tail of the serpent. So God spoke to Moses, don't be afraid of it, grab the tail. Now, if you are a human, you don't grab the serpent by the tail. You grab the serpent by the head, okay? Because you grab the tail, the serpent go back up and bite you, and then you'll be dead. But Moses knew jolly well. He was raised up in the wilderness. He was tending the flock. He saw many serpents. But to ask him to put his hand and grab the tail of serpent, it's very unreasonable. And yet that Moses obeyed. And God, when we have difficulties, sometimes there is some certain unreasonable thing we do not imagine, we could not understand what God is, but we just listen to the word and obey. And what happened when he grabbed the tail of the serpent, he definitely has conquered the fear of the poisonous snake already. Because at the beginning, he went away, he moved away from the snake, but this time he is approached the snake and grabbed the body of the snake that somewhere that was unreasonable, but he has become the obedient servant. He definitely obeyed rather than disobeying God's command. And we know that the serpent that signifying the devil and Satan, he was the one that who appealed unto Eve to disobey his command, to disobey God's command. And that is where the difference between Moses being obedient to God's word and Eve being disobedient to God's word, not to take of the fruit of the knowledge good and evil. So we will ask you that, are you obeying God's word? Because that sin now, of course, that entered the world, and we have all the diseases as we see, that we have been praying for people who have been sick, because of sickness and all that came unto the world, and even death came to the world because of Adam's sin and Eve's sin as well. So we need some form of obedience unto him. But then, of course, that God, not only that was the one that who asked Moses, but looking at the incidents, he actually get an inanimate object, the staff has no life in it, and cast it down, and then that become a living being. It shows that in creations, it's not by just God creating, even though you have got inanimate object like DNA and chemical and everything, and atom and all that. But God make man, and Gareth is going to talk about it next week, about Adam and Eve. God make man, not only that he make man, but he breathed into man the breath of life, and man become a living soul. So an animate subject, God can bring life unto it, and the life is precious unto us. We can then know that without God, it become or just like the rod and an inanimate subject. But when God has blessed it, it changed the whole thing as well. So we know that even though Satan has come and then tempted Eve as external type of thing, Satan tempted Eve and brought the sin into the world, but God is still in absolute control of everything. The serpent cannot bite Moses and became the rod again. So God, we know that is absolute control of everything. Then we come to the second sign. The second sign is the hand become leopardous. God asked Moses that to put the hands into the bosom and then take out again, and the hand become leprous, dead as snow. And we know that from the scripture of the Bible, leprosy is a disease which normally can spread from one person to another. It was an unclean ceremonially, but also medically, it can spread through if you are. That's why that the lepers has got to be the colony, so they cannot spread the disease into other people. And we know also that from the scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 21, talking about Uzziah or Azariah, depending on which in the Kings, I think is talking about Azariah, and then in 2 Chronicles, it's the same person, talking about that he was the one, at the beginning, walking well with God, really well, doing very well, but then he was so proud that he wanted to burn incense. He wanted to big sacrifice. He wants to be the one that not only is king, but he wants to be the priest as well. In the Bible, there's only one king priest, which is Melchizedek. The second one is the Lord Jesus, is king and priest as well. Then that is the one that, because the priest is supposed to be coming from the tribe of the Levites, a special tribe within the Jewish family, and he. And then yet, Uzziah was in the tribe of Judah, and then he could not bring the sacrifice. And God was angry with him, and so he became a leper until his death as well. So leprosy is to do with sin. And then it will kind of a cast away, being rejected by all the people. But yet that, we know that if it's healed by God, God will forgive us our sin. We think about the serpents, as we said that the serpent signified external temptation and brings sin into the world through Eve and Adam. And then leprosy, God asked Moses that to put a hand in the bosom. That means that is from the heart. If you think about that, you put our hand on our heart, as we call it, that is an expression, isn't it? You put our hands on our heart, can you say that you have got no sin? Think about it. You put our hands, really think about all the things in our whole life. Can you say you have no sin? So the hands in the heart signifying that, realizing that there is inner sin that within ourselves. But yet that whether it's the outer sin, God's absolute control about the Satan and all the evil things and all that. But then the inner sin, God also can forgive us, because when the hand comes out again the second time, then it becomes as the flesh of other places as well. So those are two signs that God gives us, that the external sin and then the internal sin. And yet that those two signs, God said, you go and show those two signs into the children of Israel. And then if you don't believe the first one, send them the second one. But then they said that, but if that they still do not believe, God is still give them the third sign. It's changing the water from the river unto blood. Now, we can have all the signs their people, speaking in tongues, healing the sick, and all that thing. But eventually, if people still do not believe in all the signs, even in creation, and the marvelous thing that we have seen, God, creation, healing the people, if you don't believe it, the ultimate sign, the ultimate one, is that the blood of our Lord Jesus. Now, the water changing the blood probably not being done that in the scene of the chapter that we have read, because Moses was in Mount Sinai. It's away from the river Nile. The river normally signifying that, meaning the Nile River over there. So he's back to Egypt. So it is a sign that when those two people, those stubborn people of Israel, you know, the Jews are very stubborn people normally. And sometimes we can look ourselves, we are stubborn people. We can have all the things that if you show me this, I'll believe. You show me this, you show them that, they still do not believe. Okay? You can have all the argument about creation and evolution. They still do not believe, even if they're very, very logical. You can have all the things that how God changed a person who is a convict, a changed person who is a drug addict, and then they were being murderer, but then when they see God, they change their life. You see the sign, but still don't believe. Think about it. Then the blood of God, the Lord Jesus, is the one that who is going to give the ultimate sign over there. See, even though that those people, the reluctant people, do not believe, then they will then show them this sign. Take the water from the river Nile, and then it will be signified that it changed into blood. Now, blood is a interesting thing because not only they talk about blood that being shed, blood is always associated with covenant, called the blood covenant. That means treaty made between two parties. Blood normally in the old days is that you kill an animal, you sacrifice it, the two parties coming together to make a treaty, a promise, a way that they will want to another. And the blood covenant, the first one that we see is in Genesis chapter 15. And Abraham was asked that to bring a heifer, a goat, a ram, and which one of them are 3 years old, and also a turtle dove and a young pigeon. He's going to kill the four animals in the beginning except the young pigeon over there and put them into side by side, into half side by side. And then God on, and then Abraham fell asleep. And he said a darkness fell upon him. And God was the one that who walked across of the lamb together, or those sacrifices in the middle with a fire. So God, this one, that the blood covenant with Abraham is that God is going to bless Abraham at that time, or Abraham at that time. He had no children. He told God that I'm going to have Eliezer as my servant. I will know this descendant. There's nobody to take up my treasure or the one that he blessed us unto us. He was old, 90 odd years old, but God promised him that his seed is going to rule the nations. His seed, and eventually we know about the Israel, is going to rule the nation. Even now you can see it, that the Israel is going to rule the nation. In the time to come, Israel definitely is going to rule the nation as well. But God, to signify, he's going to make that covenant with Abraham. And that covenant continued. But that covenant was not, in a sense, that respond by Abraham, because he fell asleep and darkness surrounding him. And God alone walked through the covenant. God is only one that who promised Abraham is going to deal with it up to the end. And of course, the blood we talk about, it's the Mosaic covenant as well. In the Passover, that in chapter 24, talking about the Passover, they've got to sacrifice one lamb. The first one, the first sign, the first covenant with Abraham, there are four animals, five animals were sacrificed. But this one, that God was telling Moses that to sacrifice one lamb, which is blameless, no blame at all, no blemish, and it's all perfect lamb, and kill the lamb according to the household, they could put the blood of the lamb upon the lintel. So when the law come to strike the firstborn, the first son of the people in Israel, as the ultimate sign that for the people, ultimate plague for the people of Egypt, so they can let the children of Israel, to, or the Hebrew at that time, to go away, to follow God's command, to go in the land of Canaan in the time to come. And that was the one that, as a blood, that showing that, that was this blood had to be shed so that he would cover the atonement blood. There's a cover the sin, and then the people of Israel are not going to be dead because they fall once again, coming back to the obedience of God's word. I don't know whether there are any Jews at that time who did not follow it. Those that who do not follow the command is going to be, the firstborn is going to be removed and going to be taken away from them that by God's hand. So there's four animals or five animals start off with one lamb. But of course then, the last covenant is the covenant made by Lord Jesus, that in the Last Supper, we talk about the resurrections, Easter, this morning, that the Last Supper, that before Easter, that the Lord was having a meal, the Passover meal with the disciples, then he said that, I'm not going to drink this cup with you until I go back to my kingdom and to have it in the kingdom with you. But then that means that at that time that the Passover lamb was not a lamb, which is on Moses, but the fulfillment of the type of the lamb, that which is showing that the Son of God is the ultimate sacrifice for your sin and also my sin as well. That's the ultimate fulfillment of God's word. The covenant which he made with Abraham through Moses and eventually the blood of our Lord Jesus. So even though you don't see any signs that physically nowadays, but just think about the ultimate thing that the God has made with the covenant is the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ has made. Because that even at the time that when Abraham sort of was ordered by God to sacrifice Isaac, but God himself provide the ultimate sacrifice. I will provide myself that a lamb for the offering. God provide a lamb for you and for me. So that is a time that if we do not have not done so by now, that respond to the perfect gift, respond to the perfect sacrifice he made for you and for me. When you look into ourselves, we got sin from external, we got sin from internal, but God's forgiveness is there for you and for us that to take hold of the blood so then to have the forgiveness. Then the second triplet, if we call it, then is the three senses of human, or three senses of man. And we talk about speech, and we talk about hearing, and we talk about the sight as well. Now, those are the things that I think that we take it for granted, okay? Because all of you here, you seem to be able to hear, you seem to be able to speak, you seem to be able to see as well. We take it for granted. But if we do not have any of them, we are in such a disability. Especially in those days, nowadays, we got a lot of help. Okay, for those who not speak, then we have sign languages, and those that who cannot hear, we can have different type of way that for them to do some kind of a hearing by sign language, they can understand that. Of course, sight is the one that, and all of that for those that who cannot speak, who are mute, like Zechariah, again, that is to do with sin. A sin is somehow that associated with the people who cannot speak. Zechariah, when he was trying to do an offering at that time, and God will bless him, God said, I'll bless you with a son. They were very old, and Zechariah did not believe it. And then, because of God is going to send John the Baptist to be Zechariah's son. And Zechariah did not believe it, so he was dumb until the time that when the child was born, he was able to speak and name the person John. And it's John the Baptist, as we know. The punishment for those that who cannot. But of course, that the people were born with the speech as well. And then the people that who are deaf, again, that in Matthew, that God can actually make the people hear, but Matthew is talking about the Pharisees. They might hear, but do not listen. You might have hearing. You need a hearing aid to listen to spiritual sentences that God has given to you. You can read the whole Bible. You will not understand a thing what's about. You can understand the English. You can understand the whole thing about what the story of David, what the story about Samson and all that. But you do not hear what God has implied the story into our spiritual life. And then, of course, the blindness. Then people who are blind are, once again, associated with very poor people. And then they will cry out, like the people, they're begging for money. They are not doing this. They cannot do all the things about. But those are the things that we sometimes take it for granted. But spiritually, then that is not taken for granted. We need God to give us the spiritual sight. We need God to give us the spiritual hearing. We need God to be able to give us our praise that from our mouth. God said that who is going to make those things? He is the one that will make those things come to pass as well. So the three things that we enjoy so much that if we do not have that, we are going to be disabled in the human sense. But what about thinking about the spiritual sense? We do not hear God's word. But God also, in every single part of it, God will give us and be able to heal us. God able to give us a speech to speak and praise him, but sometimes that we use it differently. God was talking about that those who speak often to one another about God's grace, he will make a book of jewel of what you think about. Sometimes we do think about talking meaningless thing rather than the scripture. Yes, we do talk a bit more. Yes, nice that to be socially talking about different things, but somehow that we do talk a bit more about God's grace unto us. So then, a hearing that we know, and then looking and sight that we also need. God can open the blind to see spiritually and also physically as well. But spiritual is important because we can see things, but we cannot see things in God's way. Somehow that we need God's help so that we can see God's ways as well. Then God's given gift is to be used for his glory. And then last, the triplet is the three speaker. Moses said that I'm not eloquent. Okay, I'm not eloquent to speak. I'm slow in speech. And yet that he probably, you can say that making an excuse, he was the prince of Egypt. And that's why that the people, Moses will ask God to help him because the people will not listen to him. Because the people said, you have 40 years being the son of Hatshepsut, the prince of Egypt. And yet that you are coming to tell us that who are slave, you don't want to work with us, but you have got a high life there. But Moses was the one that chosen by God to be the leader. Aaron was the one going all the way that with the people and suffering with the people. That's why he could be well spoken, that he be able to speak to those people. And then Moses, after being the prince of Egypt, went away to Midian and met Jethro's daughter and Zipporah, and then they were living together 40 years. He probably lost all the eloquence and everything that he was speaking. He probably did not speak even the language as fluent as the Hebrew people as well. And then that he said that here I'm slow in speech, but God said that I'm the one who put words in your mouth. Because he was going to give Aaron, that who is a eloquent speaker, but a lot of time that when we look at the people that who are presidents or leaders or prime minister, they're very eloquent speaker, they'll move people by their speech and all that. But those are only helpers. They're helpers unto Moses because God said that Aaron will look at you as if I am as God. So he was the one representing God. So no matter what the high speech, high ability that you have for speech, if you are not representing God, you have got to be humble himself, that to follow the one that Moses, that to be the leader. Because you just what God said, that Aaron will be glad when he sees you, because God tells Aaron to come and meet up with Moses, his brother, younger brother, because obviously Aaron must be born before Moses, and then Moses' younger brother, you are going to follow him, that because God has appointed his way. But then, thou shalt be with him instead of God. So at the end, it's not what Moses say, it's not Aaron say. The ultimate speaker is God, because he was the one who put the word into their mouth. God put words in my mouth, now speaking unto you. It's not problem me, in the sense that yes, I've got the ability, and then to bring out all the three triplets to be able to speak. But ultimately, it's not what my speech is important, it's what God's speech is important. What God's Holy Spirit moving you is important. So now is the time that for you to think about all the things that we have been speaking about. God is speaking to you right now, this morning. So put your heart unto him and don't delay, because God's grace is here for you. And sometimes later on, then the grace will be taken away. If you pass away without knowing God, there is a serious consequences, the Bible tells us. Not me telling you, but God's consequences, that God is saying that if you reject me at that time to come, in the judgment time to come, then you will be knowing who the God is. Then at that time, the decision has been made. You cannot change the decision anymore. So now is the time of salvation. Now is the acceptable date of salvation, acceptable time for salvation as well. So in this way, let us pray.